The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Good afternoon and welcome to The Barrington Show with your host Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of The Barrington Show, Barrington.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Barrington Show. Thank you for tuning in. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and we're loving it. It's been a great summer. We're having fun here in Ontario, Canada, where we're broadcasting from. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you, and welcome to your uplifting, to a higher level of consciousness, to let you be aware that you are not limited. You are limitless. You have the ability to do all that you want to do and all the things that's achievable. The tools are within you, in your own toolbox. You just have to learn how to get them out there and how to use them. Be consciously aware of your existence and learn how to live in the presence. We talk about philosophy. We talk about spirituality. We wake you up. We want you to wake up and realize that you are, there's a lot more to you than you're aware of. Welcome to the Barrington Show. You're listening to Barrington on Reality Radio 101.com. This is a beautiful day, a lot to cover, and we're enjoying summer as best as we can because soon it should pass, it will pass. And this is what happens to us here in Ontario. I know you're all listening from different parts of the world, and your climate or temperature may be different, but you're the same person. We're all equally yoked. And we have like minds, we're connected to each other and we're all the same. So no matter where you are listening to the show, your intent is the same and you're brought here by your own doing. You have found this. Welcome home, everybody, because you're here and it's not a coincidence. As we talked about before, spiritually, you're connected. We're all connected to the same being. We're all connected to the great wave. We're all the same. If we're all the same, then we generally have the same ideas. The only differences that we may experience is how we were raised in a society that brought us up and told us what they told us and live. We're living according to what we were dictated to about when we were younger. And some of us will carry that load, that baggage, that weight throughout life, not knowing if it's true. I am here to tell you with certainty that you have more to you than you're aware of. And we encourage you to step up and study spirituality and tap into your own source and realize the only God that exists is actually you. And when you speak to the higher being, you're speaking to a more alert, a higher level of consciousness of yourself. This is the Barrington Show. Everybody, stay tuned because today we're going to talk about the wonderful things, the wonderful questions that were thrown to us over the years that we've been doing the show, and we want to answer most of them. Before I get to that point, I welcome all my new listeners and my old-time listeners and people that's been supporting the show from day one. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome home, and thank you for being there. Without you there, I cannot be here. I would not be here. You're hearing me. It's not a coincidence. You are searching because you now understand that there is actually more to you than you previously thought. and the ideas that were given to you as how to live was given to you by another, which is not possible. Your divine teachings and your spiritual connection and your intuitiveness is connected directly to you. You are the only one that will get your message, and nobody's going to get the message to deliver to you. If they tell you otherwise, they're not being truthful, because they cannot tell you your purpose. Your purpose is delivered to you personally. And this is why we encourage you to get connected to the higher self, to the higher spiritual existence, and to the great wave, so you can get your message instinctively, like all the other animals on this planet will do. We're lacking because we don't study spirituality, and we don't give a darn, or don't seem to give a darn, about how to live our lives. But if you knew that you could tap into a source and get the messages that's designed for you, by you, and live accordingly, you'll have a more fulfilling life. You will be free because you're not carrying luggage. You're not carrying baggage. You're not carrying the ideas of somebody telling you that you're not good enough, or you can't do it, or it's not for you, or they're different than you, and all these things that we carry around every day. Get your own message. Get your own message. Find your own purpose. Find why you're here. There's a lot of people out there that's of like mind, just like you, and they're doing the same search. They're on the same path as you. Get on that path and find out your potential, and you will see that it's limitless. Thank you again for joining. We're talking about COVID a lot here in Ontario. I don't like talking about it, but it has become a part of our existence. Therefore, I do have to, from time to time, mention it. And, you know, we've been free for longer, for a period of time. We're free to go back into the restaurants, to go indoors, and to meet in larger groups. And we're still carrying the 6 feet apart and the mask and the wash your hands. That will never go away. That should never go away. Maybe the mask, but definitely the social distancing and taking care of yourself and being clean all the time will always and should always be a part of our existence. So take heed of all of that. So now we listen to the news and they talk about COVID. And the numbers are going back up, and the restrictions are getting a little bit more harsh. They've introduced now the idea that if you're working for the government in Ontario, you have to get a vaccine, and they encourage other companies to do the same. I believe within time, you will find that we don't have much of a choice than to give in and get our vaccine. We will be protesting. Anti-vaxxers will protest and simply hold out and hold out and hold out. But I realize that they're reality is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, because now if you don't have your vaccines, you can't get on an airplane. And I saw this coming a mile away. And, you know, you're going to need it to go to school. You're going to need it to participate in this, or to go to the concert, or even to go to work. And if you're not willing to conform and get into that, then you're going to be subjected to doing a test regularly. At some point, you're going to say, wow. Is this juice worth the squeeze? I don't understand the reason for holding out. I don't get it. I understand there's a lot of talks about it. The conspiracy theories are saying we're not sure. We don't know the effects. We don't know what it's going to do. What's going to happen to us in 10 years? Or is it a plan to have a chip installed in our bodies? It's none of those things. It is a government that's trying to make us all safe and keep us on the same path and don't have to spend a lot of money protecting, isolating, and keeping the anti-vaxxers away from the ones who were vaccinated. And they have a responsibility to the governing bodies, to the bodies that they govern. We have to conform to the rule because we're here. And if we choose not to conform to the rules, why are we here? The good thing to do, I think the responsible thing to do, is to get on board and see that we can all get through this together, because we know this too shall pass. I'm not fully convinced that we're ever going to have to get rid of the idea of taking a vaccination or some sort of a test before you go to some foreign countries. That's been around for a very, very long time. They spray chemicals, they de-louse us, or whatever it is that you're doing when you're trying to enter into a country. And I get it, because that country is trying to protect their citizen, as we are doing here. And we may have to just get in the lineup and do what everybody else is doing without choice. My opinion. Today, I want to talk about the best questions Since we've been doing the show from time to time, people will call in or email in and they'll have a question. And it's generally, when I answer the question, it's not just for that one person. Generally, a lot of us, because we're like-minded, we have the same questions. And somebody had beat you to it, but the answer is satisfying to everybody else who can hear it. So we've made a list, and I've got a few questions that I got in front of me. And we're going to go through them and talk about what I consider the best questions. And some of them are way out there. Some of them are easy to answer. Some I had to give a lot of thoughts to. If you've heard these questions on some of the shows that you've heard, you'll know that the answers are going to be the same. I don't change my answers. At times when I do meditate, I go deeper into certain things. I do get a more clarification, a better explanation of certain things, but the answers are consistent and they'll all be the same. So the first question I thought was amazing was, where can I get your book? That's a good question. So you could get it at Amazon.ca. Amazon.ca. We also have information for you at our email, our website, pardon me, HEAMI, Barrington Awaken. Every show that we've done, there's parts of them listed there, sometimes the entire show, and they're all labeled. Today's show was called The Best Questions. And if you have time to go on online and view them, a lot of other information are there. We've talked about this before. We're working on other books. They're taking some time because I'm doing this alone. But at the time when they're ready, they'll be out there for you. Align yourself to your true purpose. Align to your true purpose. Awaken an Ascension Guide. It's the book that's available. And yes, you could pick it up at Amazon.com. It's a good read. Great question. Why are we here? That was one of the better questions that we've had. A lot of people are confused as to why we're here. Why are we on the planet Earth? Why do we exist? Why does it even exist? Why, what purpose or why are we here? We're here for the Earth experience, to be in the body, to fulfill a purpose, to find our purpose. Sometimes we deliver a message. Sometimes we have an idea. We've come up with the cures for a lot of diseases, and people will come when our society is in, all the planet is in stress of our need or help or groups. They will, a messenger will come with clarification as to how to deal with this situation or how to address the situation. So people do show up with just to deliver a message. If you're here to teach us how to bake a cake, it is still a message because we're going to get that great cake once it's done. So we've come here for a specific purpose. And sometimes, most often, we don't find it. After that, we have to repeat and do it again and do it again because we fall off our path. We're not given the proper guidance. We're held captive. We think we're restricted and we lose our focus. When you're a brand new baby, you know, before you actually conform to the existence of our society, you are fully connected to the spiritual way of life and the guides and everybody. You're alert. And if you never see the newborn baby, sometimes you just start staring to the sky because they can see things and hear things that we can't because we've been trained otherwise. We've come here for purpose. And this is the only planet that we could come on in a physical sense that we're aware of, that we could come in a physical sense and turn those ideas into something tangible, like the chair you may be sitting on or the TV you're watching or the computer you're hearing the broadcast over. So however you're doing it, that wouldn't have been possible if we didn't have the physical existence. We're here to fulfill a purpose. And we don't know what that is. I don't know what yours is. You won't know what mine is. We can guess all we want. Most often what we do is we try to convince other people to live like us and tell them this is better and this is the best way and we should respect this and not respect that and follow this and don't follow that. And if you follow these rules, you're going to be rewarded. And if you don't follow those rules, you'll be not rewarded. But they're just guessing at the game because nobody knows. There are no rules that is set out. As a society, yes, there are rules and they say a whole bunch of things. I'm sure you're familiar with thou shalt not kill, but what would you do if that person is trying to kill you? It is defense, but it is still kill. There are no rules. Find your purpose and you'll find that we live better in unity. We have no desire to be ill to another person. We have no desire to take from anyone else. We have no desire to belittle, look down on somebody. We have the desire to live, to be functional, to get along, to be tolerant, to cohabitate. We have all these desires as human beings because we're all the same. We are all the same, no matter if you're at one end of the world in Timbuktu or at the other end of the world, planet out there, we're all the same. And we're doing the same things to get through life. We cannot be better than the same. We can't be lesser than the same. We're all equal to each other. We're all the same. And it's selfish, very selfish of us to think that we're better. We often look at somebody on TV and think they're suffering. You have no idea, because that's your own interpretation of their existence. They may have chosen that path, and that's how they're living it. When we talk about suffering, all we're doing is comparing their situation to our situation. A lot of people around the world will look at us, and we have to get up every morning, 8 hours a day, and go at it real aggressively for 40 years or 45 years, depending on how good you are at it. And then other people say, wow, those people are really suffering because they've sacrificed so many hours per day, so many years of their lives to accomplish something they never get a chance to enjoy. Boy, are they ever suffering. And it's probably true. But it's unfair for us to look at another person's life, another culture, another society, another way of living, and think that ours is best or better. Because I'd have a really hard time with somebody trying to explain to me what better is. It is interpretive. It's my choice. I choose these things to be accurate because they're better for me. I choose those things to be inaccurate because I don't find them as good for me. And we do this throughout all of our lives. The truth is what benefits our lives, and the non-truth that we see is what's not beneficial to us. So if it's accurate, we'll think it's great and it's right, but it's interpretive. It is only right because you believe it's right. Equally so for saying it's wrong. So that was our question. I went the long way to experience that, to express that to you. Do I believe in coincidences, and do they exist? Well, everything that happens will happen for a reason. There is a very specific reason for this to happen. Though we don't understand it, and though we don't know where it's coming from, and though we don't know what is the reason for it, it doesn't necessarily make it a coincidence. It's for somebody else. It's another message for someone else to interpret, or it was designed for them. When you run into your friend in the mall and you haven't seen them for a very long time, I don't believe it's a coincidence. It's to deliver a message. Maybe to tell you you're looking great. Whatever you're doing well. Keep it up. Maybe it's to give you some bit of a news or take you into another direction as to where you go. I don't believe there's a coincidence. What is spirituality? That was one of the first questions we had. And the answer to that, and it still remains, the search for meaning. Spirituality is your existence in the non-physical form. That is who you are. We tap into it to become more aware of what that is. And by doing so, you're at a higher level of consciousness. You're now in the form of spirituality. Spirituality is the search of meaning. And when you study or you follow and you wait and you try to connect to your guides, you are more into spirituality. By the way, it's growing a lot more than you could look at 50 years ago and everybody go, what is that thing you're talking about? However, it is going, the new generation of children that's come here, the indigo children has come here to teach us a better way to live our lives, to coexist, to get along. And they don't necessarily conform to the old ideas that would have been taught to us by saying, if you act right and do right, you will live a prosperous life and things will be better and you'll end up in some place holding hands, singing Kumbaya, something like that. However, the new generation don't see it that way. They're more in tune with spirituality. To answer the question as to what is spirituality, is the search for the meaning of your life. And it will guide you to your purpose. And once you've accomplished or you've studied or you understand, you know your purpose, then you're well on your way because you know which path to walk on. Let me just add, you don't have a great prize at the end of the journey. What happens is the whole design of spirituality is to keep you on the path so you don't slip and fall in the ditches. Spirituality is connecting you to all that there is. You are a spiritual being with a body. I could go further by saying you are not the body. You're just driving around in it. It's your vehicle that gets you from point A to point B. The soul. What is the soul? I think I just may have answered a bit of that a minute ago. The soul is your spiritual self, the existence of who you are without the body. The soul is all that there is. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in every piece of life. That's the soul that makes you, you. The body is the vehicle that you travel around in. The soul is the inner spiritual part of you that is connecting you to all that there is, because you are a part of it. When I use the argument of saying we're all the same, we're all the same. Every ice cube in that tray will end up looking the same. It's not by coincidence. It's designed that way, much like our spirituality. We're all the same. We're all the same. The soul speaks to the spiritual world for all of us because it's interconnected. It's all the same. The soul, the ideas that you get in your mind, you put them into the heart, it delivers to the soul. The soul connects it to the universe because it is the life. It is all that there is. It's the great wave. It is the part of you, and everybody has one. It's not possible to exist here without one. And if you don't have one, you're not hearing me, so it doesn't matter. So the soul is our connector to all that there is. It's our spiritual self. It's our spiritual existence. Everybody has one. What happens when we die? Very, 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 very famous question. Well, we don't die. We don't die. We go on. We all have eternal life. As long as life exists, all that there is, the absolute, the bigger boss, whatever you want to call it, as long as that is there, we are living. What happens from time to time is we journey in our bodies. The body gets too old to continue. It's diseased. It's broken down. You've had an accident. Something has happened to you. You have to lay it down, get a new one, and start again, like the conveyor belt. You get a new one, you start again. So it's called rebirth. Pretty much the same way you've gotten rid of the old cars you used to have or the smaller house you used to have, and you got a new one. When this body gets to a certain age, a certain limit, a certain restrictions, time, disease, you have to lay it down. It can't go anymore. Then you get a new one. We don't die. It's called rebirth. And we go on and on and on and on. Here's a question that somebody's asked me about the children. And I was just reading a poem on the weekend about this Arab writer, poem writer. And he wrote that we have absolutely no control. The question is, do we control our children? Do we have control over the children? That's the question. The answer is no. Absolutely not. They are there. They choose us as parents or guides to get them started in their journey or their quest or to find their purpose. They choose this path because the knowledge that they will attain, and this choice is made long before they've come to this planet. The existence and the thoughts and the idea was before they showed up here as a baby, before they got the new body and decides to do what they're doing today. But as a parent to these children, we have absolutely no control over what they do. We don't control their mind. We have no way of controlling their souls. And therefore, their ideas are theirs and they come here with it. If you don't believe me, take a good look at the preacher and the daughter and see how they're different. And you always hear the story of the bad daughter that has a preacher for a father or a minister, somebody in the high religious end. And they end up having this child. And the reason is because that child has had their own method or their own focus or their own thing that they wanted to do. We have no control over it. So imagine you being the bow and the children being the arrow, and your job is to aim it in that direction. And you try to do that and you focus on it, you pull it back, you set it, then you let it go, let it fly. But the minute that arrow leaves, there's not really much you could do about it. I mean, you could just move swiftly and take off and go in awesome directions, or I could just hit a brick wall or hit a rock and then it breaks and it doesn't go anywhere. But it has nothing to do with you. Your job was to send it off, and so you did. And that's why we have absolutely no control over what happened to our children. We try our best. We try to put them into things that we think is better for them. We try to put them into education that's going to benefit them and such, this and this and this. However, they've got their own ideas and their own mind and their own soul, and they're going to do what they want to do. And when they do something is of a negative, it's not your fault. Though when they do something that's fantastic and great, we all pat ourselves on the back and go, I did that. No, you didn't. You created the environment for it to grow, and good for you because you've done your part. You fired that bow off really well, and it was awesome in doing that. But they're going to do what they want to do. And we just hope it's not taking us out. No, we just kind of hope that because that has happened in the past. You're listening to Barrington. We're talking about the best questions that we've had over the years that we've been doing the show. And thank you for joining the show. Welcome to us on a Sunday afternoon. And thank you for being there. It's Reality Radio 101 that you're listening to. And there's a book out there called The Awakening and Ascension Guide. It talks about much of what we're talking about. One day I will do a book actually about the questions that people are asking. And the reason they're asking is because they're just unaware of them even knowing the answers, and they will ask the question, and a lot of people will benefit from the answers. But thank you for joining us. Thank you for being there. Have we got any
Yes, we have here? We have a few emails here. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Barrington Show with Barrington. And if you'd like to write in with a comment or a question, our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's in studio 101@gmail.com. And these four folks did that right now. Carol wrote in, and Carol says, this is a great, different, refreshing type of show, Barrington. I listen to you often, and sometimes when you give an answer, I kind of miss it because I'm doing things around the house. So this is like a big review of some of your shows. I am enjoying it, sitting here with a cup of tea, relaxing, enjoying the afternoon. Thank you for the recap. And that's from Carol. Thank you, Carol. Greg says, regarding killing or murdering someone, I think it's two different things. In the Bible, I think it said, thou shalt not kill. However, think about this. That should really be, thou shalt not murder, to go out and murder someone for something. But killing someone in self-defense, I think, is different. Don't you? That's from Greg. Okay. Karen writes in, Barrington, in your book, are there answers to a lot of these questions that you're reviewing on your show? I'd like to get somewhat of a copy of the answers. Do you discuss these things in your book? And that is from Karen. And lastly, Romeo writes in. Hello, Romeo. He writes in and said, I'm trying to grasp the take about us not per se dying, but here's something. Should we be scared of death? Nobody seems to want to die if it's not all that bad and it's not the devil in fire. What's your take on that? And that's from Romeo. And back to you, Barrington.
Well, thank you for that, Romeo. pretty good question, yes. I tell you, like everybody else, I was afraid to die. And the reason because of that, the reason was I didn't know what it was all about. I'm not saying I'm running towards it, I'm excited for it, any of the above. I love being here with my family and my children and being in a physical existence. However, to fear death, well, first of all, I've already stated that you're not dying, you're doing the rebirth, and it may be a hard concept for you to grasp, but no, you're looking forward to going home. It's the end of the vacation. You know, you went on a vacation at some point in your life and you're having the time of your life, I hope, and then you know coming next few days, it's going to be over with. You're saddened by it, but as you resume back into your life, then you'll realize that, yeah, you have the fond memories of it, but it's not as detrimental to you as you thought it might have been, because you have to move on. We do have to end that vacation, this vacation, and move into something else. Are we afraid to die? Should we be afraid to die? No, you're going home. This is home. The vacation is ended. You're going home. And you're coming back again another time, you know, on another vacation and doing something completely different. And you will be so happy when you get there. You'll be flabbergasted because you've returned to something that you love and something that is so amazing to you. You're not dying, and please don't be afraid of dying. We are concerned because a lot of us don't want to go out that bad way. You know, you don't want to lay and be suffering for many years or in pain or agony, all these for many years before you go into the other world. But we look forward to that. That could be frightening. If you do have fear of dying, there's a sure way of getting rid of that and letting you realize that the life is all about living. And if you're spending any of the living time worrying about dying, you're not living, you're too worried about something else that's inevitable, but it's not yet. Connect to your spirituality and learn who you are and gain the confidence as to how life will work. Once you're there at that level, you'll realize dying is a part of the game, or rebirth, or reincarnation, or coming back. However you label it, is a part of the package. And, you know, we all hope that one night we don't hope, but it would be better for us for one night to go to sleep and not wake up, or day, or whatever the case may be, or nod off. People do choose to leave this planet. They make conscious decision. Okay, I've had enough. The kids are grown. I paid all my tax. Well, okay, the kids are grown and I want to leave. And they choose to make that leap or that step or walk away from the body. You can make that choice to fall, go to sleep and not wake up. This is a choice that you have the ability to make. And I've seen it, my personal experiences. I had a grandmother who did that, and she called everybody and we went to visit and said hi. We didn't realize at the time she was actually saying goodbye. But at the same time, when it was all said and done, I thought, wow, she went to sleep and didn't wake up. We can make that decision for ourselves. So the fear of dying is thinking that something horrible is going to happen to us one day and poof, you know, you're in agony and you're pain. You're going home. You are going home. This is the method. I open the show all the time by saying, welcome home. This is introducing you to what you're familiar with. And you could do the happy dance, because when you realize where you're going, you will be doing the happy dance. Thank you for that. I know I went a long way on that one, Romeo, but I needed to get that answer out there. Someone was asking, Karen was asking if the answers that I have and the answers that I'm giving today, are they in the book? Well, no, I don't have these answers in the book and the questions are not in the book. But what it does do, the book is making you think and be more aware, and it will take you on a guide, a path where you can get your own answer. It is basically telling you how to stand up, hold up your shoulders, square up yourself, and get on that journey to understand and take and learn about spirituality. This is what the book talks about, and it's a guide. When you fall down, it'll give you little ideas of how to stand back up so the next time you won't fall down, much like how we study psychology and philosophy. One is the prevention and the other one is the cure. We say if you study philosophy, then you won't need to lay down on somebody's couch and tell them the problem, because you're following the guides that you set out for yourself and you will live great. And the psychologist is not able to tell you how to live because they don't know who you are. Most don't know who they are, but they could give you the path, tell you to open up your own doors and find your own guidance. Most often they're telling you to live a certain way because society dictates that. I get that. You know, you have to be tolerant because you're part of this big old circle, the blue marble, as we call it. But at the same time, you don't know enough about me to tell me how I should live my life, because you simply don't know my purpose. The answers are not in the book. The book is going to take you to a place where you can get your own answers. Greg is asking about self-defense, kill and murder, and the Bible should have said, and instead of all of this and stuff like that. Well, you see, thou shalt not kill. I totally agree with that. Don't get me wrong. And you shouldn't be taking anybody's lives. And if you were on your path of consciousness and you were well within, you'll see that you have absolutely no desire to be angry, upset, ill will to anyone, simply because you understand that they are part of you. You are part of them. It's like taking off your right arm. Okay, so the idea of killing, and you know, the Bible did say, thou shalt not kill. And I will say, yeah, but if that person is trying to take me out, I'm going to take him out. Yeah, there is a difference between the intent of walking out there to take somebody's life. And there's also, there's a huge difference in you defending yourself to the best of your ability, including taking that person's life. I don't know how we got onto this, but yeah, there is a difference between self-defense, because you needed to do it, and you're protecting, or you're saving your children, or whatever the case may be. And there's a difference between those who are out there just willfully just wanting to do that for greed, power, money, envy, whatever the case may be, whatever emotion that has come up in that reason, that or chemical imbalance that makes you want to take another person's life, there's something not right about that, obviously. And you need to check on you, dig in to find out who you are, and you'll see the desire for doing that does not exist. It is not normal. It is not supposed to be the way it is supposed to be. You weren't designed to be that way. You were supposed to live among everybody. You don't see trees out there kicking each other's trunk, you know, because they've figured it out. We're struggling. We're greedy. We want more. We want to be above each other. We want to look better than another person. And by doing so, we take advantage of them. And the only reason we're doing that because we're not content with ourselves. That's it. And the minute you find out who you are and you accept that who you are and as a person and where your position is in life and what is the purpose for you in your life, you'll have lesser of a desire to think that you're better than someone else, because it does not exist. There's no such thing as better other than it's in your mind. And you've interpreted that to make you feel better. But in doing so, you are looking at somebody and thinking that they're beneath you. There's something wrong with you. Or you're just plain envious. The difference is between wanting to kill and murder, huge difference. At the end of the day, it's still a life loss. But there is a difference. And thank you very much for that, Greg. I hope I answered your question as you wanted it. Carol, thank you very much for your email. You talk about a great show and the answers. And sometimes you state that when I get a question, I try to give an answer. You're busy. You didn't hear it. You do listen to the show quite often, frequent. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And for everyone else anywhere in the world who's like Carol, who misses the answers, all the shows that we've done, they're recorded and we put them on the website. And you could go there, pull them out and listen to them in case there's something that you've missed, or it's always okay to email us again and say, can you give us a little bit more on that? And then we're on the topic again. For those who've missed the questions or the answers and you're lacking or you're confused or you want more, there's always, always a method in which you could get that answer that you may have missed because you've missed a show or you're preoccupied at that moment or it's muffled or I didn't explain it properly. However it comes across that you want more, there's other ways of getting that answer, the answers to the question. So thank you very much for that, Carol. And I appreciate you always listening, like everyone else around the world. Thank you very much for tuning in on the Sunday afternoon to the Barrington Show. And here we go again. Do I pray? Now, the first time I was asked that question, I've been asked that question quite a few times, do I pray? The answer was no, right off the jump. No, I don't pray because I didn't need to. As I did, and I carried on and journey a little bit further, I realized when you're praying, you're making a connection to your spiritual guide, to your higher self, to your consciousness, maybe your God as you see it, or whatever level is higher than where you are consciously. By praying, you're making that spiritual connection to that entity that you believe is a greater source than you are, which, by the way, they're not. You just need to be a little bit taller so you could see over the fence and see everything clear. So do I pray? The answer is no, I still don't pray. However, I do meditate, and by doing so, I'm allowing the brain to empty out itself, and I'm making my connection to the same source. So if you're bending down on your knees or however you pray, and you're saying these things to the higher source that you feel that exists out there, as we sit still and meditate, we're tapping into the same source. We're walking into a building. One is taking an elevator and the other is taking the stairs. Eventually, we both get to the top floor, and I think, or the bottom floor, depending on which direction you're going. But the idea behind it is when I meditate, I'm putting these ideas out forth and I'm looking to connect to my spiritual existence and my guides for whatever reason that I'm searching for. And when you're out there praying, you're doing the very same thing. You're connecting to the same source. We're trying to travel to some foreign land or maybe some region close to you. You could fly. You could ride a bicycle, you could take a bus, you could drive your car, even walk, you know, maybe slip on a banana peel or something. Regardless, we're ending up in the same place because that's the destination. The method in which you take to get there is not relevant. Maybe by convenience, that's all that there is available for you. However, the sources that we're trying to get to, it's all the same place. So if you're praying or meditating or reading, however it is, I think reading is the same as meditating, you're going to get to the same place. Do I pray? No. Do I connect to the people who are praying? Absolutely. We're all the same. You use your method. I use my method. We're getting to the same place. which is best, I'm not sure. Whichever works for you and the one you've been doing for the longest time is the best. What you need to understand and clear understanding of is the fact that when you are praying, you're connecting yourself to the source that exists, which is a higher self of you. The God that exists is you. You're praying to yourself. You're allowing the connection to happen. When we meditate, and I've said this many times, I haven't said it lately, but you try to imagine you living in a jar, and as you sit to meditate, you remove the lid from the jar, and everything that's within that jar will automatically connect to everything that's on the exterior of the jar. So you're connecting yourself to a force, and you're removing that lid. And the lid, by the way, is the ideas that we've had, the religions that we were taught, the disbelief, the insecurity, the anything out there that's making us not believe in that we're worthy or able or capable. The lid, you remove the lid from the jar, it exposes itself to all that there is, and you're connected to the spiritual guide. And that's that's the way to do that. And yes, do pray or meditate. By any means, do connect. We had a question a while back, and people asked about how to lose weight. And this is a huge one, no pun intended. You see, and I've been studying and talking about that and looking at it and speaking to other people about that. And it's different, but the bottom line is their method, their approach is different. And we tend to think, you know, we're going to go to a gym or go for a walk or do a physical activity and shake those extra pounds off or burn them off. That is possible. It's a long road to the success if you ever get there. And if you force it off, it'll come back. That's what happens. If you force it off, it'll come back. So when I had that question and I addressed it a couple of times on the show, the best method is to change what you're putting into your body. Don't worry about losing the weight. Don't worry about that, because that's the problem. You're consciously holding it there. You're holding it there because, oh my gosh, I didn't lose my half a pound this week. Oh, I'm so distraught. I'm frustrated. Let's go do something. Get on a program that is going to allow you to eat proper food, plant-based preferred, and you're going to do that. Focus on changing your ideas. Leave the weight alone. The minute you get into that category of knowing what is proper food, proper amount, proper nutrition, proper rest, a lot of water, and all these things, the minute you learn that, you'll see that the weight is gone because there's no need for it to be there anymore. If you're eating the proper food, the body won't retain a lot of salt, a lot of water to keep you diluted from suffering from too much sodium, stuff like that. So if you could learn to eat the proper food, learn, take a nutritious course or something, and figure out what is the proper food. That's all you got to do is eat the proper food. And by the way, it's not going to happen next Thursday, not for everybody. You have to give it some time for the body to figure out what you're trying to do. And in the meantime, you could go out and do some physical activity because it's going to give you the energy that is required. And the more you do it, the more energy you'll have. Eat the proper foods. And I've said this, eat the food that your God created, not the ones that the labs made. If you eat the proper food and you put your body in, give it the proper rest when it's necessary and give it water, lots of water, you're doing a great job. Eventually, you'll wake up and say, oh, wow, where did all that weight go? Don't focus on that because you're holding that there. And when you don't accomplish that certain amount for the week or whatever, you will get angry and frustrated and lose your focus. So leave it alone. I'm not going to tell you to throw the scales out the window. Just put them in the closet or something. Eat the proper foods. That's all it takes. Just eat the proper food. And the diet books that everybody seems to be buying, well, if they were working, there wouldn't be 400 of them out there on the shelves. It would only be one. So because there's so many out there, they're telling you to try a different method and try this. My advice to you is just take some time and eat the proper foods. You'll find that you will be eating less of the proper foods and you won't be craving the other stuff because eventually the body will clue in as to what you're trying to do and it will accommodate. Have we got anything else there, sir?
We have just one from Andy, one email. Andy wrote in and he said he's enjoying the show from New York City. He's a new listener to your show. So thank you, Andy, and back to you.
Thank you very much for that, Andy, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today we're talking about the best questions that people have asked over the time that we've been doing the show. We're trying our best to go through them and just to satisfy everybody with the answers and hope that the answers will do something for you. In saying all that, question that was asked is, where do we go when we leave here? Is there a heaven or a hell? Okay, so that's three questions. Heaven and hell is simple. No, there isn't a physical place out there called heaven, regardless of what you were told. There isn't a place where you're going to go and, like I said, you know, hold hands, sing kumbaya, and you live eternal life where you have a fantastic time for eternity. It makes no sense to me that they would send us here on this planet. The spiritual guide will encourage us to come here on this planet to see how we act. And if we act right, we'll make it back into heaven. And if we don't act right, we're going to go to, you know, like I say, the hockey stick place, or the most people call it hell. Well, if that was the case, why not just do the divide over there and exclude the human parts? You know, like, why bother? Come here to see how we're going to act, because we're coming here for a purpose. And the whole idea of acting this way and you're going to be rewarded for it is not true. The heaven only exists in your mind, and so does the hell. You could go there right now. And I'm not suggesting that you go to hell. I'm simply saying that if you change your mind and change your thoughts, you could live in the heavenly world, heavenly place. There is not a physical place out there, because that means you'd have to leave this body here and go somewhere else to get another body so you could be in heaven. Or you're in there without a body. You're in there in a spiritual sense, in the non-physical sense. Then, yeah, you don't need to do that, because there is not a place that you're going to go and have another body. And they suggest that after you've died, before judgment day, you're going to be brought, resurrected, and get another body just so we could burn the crap out of it. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense either. If I'm already dead, why not just leave me there? So the idea of there's a heaven and there's a hell, yes, it is. It exists in your mind, much like the two wolves that lives in your stomach. You could feed the good one or feed the bad when you make that choice. The heaven that you live in is by seeing things all positive and great. The hell that you live in is by thinking that the whole world is against you and you're going into defense mode, where you're probably afraid, or you're probably you're insecure, or all these other things that makes you want to live in this horrible place in your state of mind. And by the way, if you are in any situation, as long as the mind is able to do the thinking, then you are doing well, because you could choose the pleasant part of that existence no matter where you are. You could be locked up. It's not fun, because it doesn't look like it from out here, but I'm not there, so I can't tell you a true story about that. However, you have the ability to live free by freeing the mind. Live happy, live free. And it doesn't matter where you are. You could do that anytime, anywhere. If your situation is horrible, change your mind and you'll notice the situation itself is changing. If it's not, then chances are you're accepting it as the norm. If you're in this horrible, let's say, relationship, for example, and all you do is sit there and complain about it, it's not going to get any better because you're complaining about it. But if we can try and find the beauty of it all, you'll see that the relationship itself is changing. And it was a sour attitude that you had to throw in there. And I mean relationship between you and your spouse, the children, the boss, the neighbors, the bus driver, for that matter, you know. But if you change the attitude and see the pleasantries of it, you might see that the relationship is, the situation is changing, and it's a matter of making that conscious decision within yourself to make that change. Wake up, everybody. I love to say that. Wake up. Realize there's a lot more to you. There's a lot more to you, and you need to realize. Now, another part of the question was, we talked about the heaven and the hell. The other part of the question was, where do we go? If there's no heaven to go to, or there's no hell to go to, where do we go from here? Well, when you leave here, and I've said this earlier, you're coming back. We never leave here. We're part of the existence on this planet, and everything that exists here is a part of us, as we're a part of that. And then we can't leave to go where? Where are we going to go? You know, we can't go next door because it's still here, technically, or another country because it's still here, technically. You don't leave here, folks. You don't leave here. You're always here. Imagine getting an ice cube and you throw it into the ocean. Within seconds, it's melted and it's gone. No, it's not. It's still there and it's going to come back. But it is blended into all that there is on the great wave. He becomes a part of it, as so does your spirit or your soul. It's one big piece of pie, and you take a piece of it and come here and act and make a body, fashion a body around it, and you live. No, once you throw that ice cube into the ocean, you think it's gone. No, it's not gone. It's still there. If you pay close attention, you might see the ocean rise a little bit. Kidding. Can't see it. It's so minute. However, you have to realize that that entity, that source, that particle is still in existence. And I want to say also that if your family members has passed away, they haven't gone anywhere. They physically removed the body. Spiritually, they're still around you. We pray, we meditate, we hear them, we see them sometimes, but physically, they're still there. They're never gone away from you. The souls, they travel together. I've said this many times. If you've got the tennis balls, man, you go to the top of the river and you throw them all in the river and you drive in your car way down the bottom and you wait, eventually they all show up because we travel together. We're all the same. We travel together. We're all one piece of this great pie. The ones that you've missed are gone. They've left their body because it couldn't carry on any further. It's old, it's broken, it's diseased. It's, you know, it's bad. I don't know if any of you remember back in November of, I think it was 2012, there was a lot of people leaving this planet because of what they didn't want to deal with. And they're going out no matter how. But you've noticed since then, a lot of people are coming back because we're in a state of change. We're in a state of change. Some say it's because we're changing from the Pisces to the Aquarius. The change is happening. We're part of it. We've been living in COVID. We're learning how to live. Indigo children are coming here to make life a lot easier for us to live so we can have more fun, be more tolerant, get along with each other, not hate so much, not choose hate to be the primary. I was having a conversation with somebody just this weekend, lovely young lady, and I was expressing to her that how we saw life when they were telling us that we're going to have to live by these rules, follow these rules, and then the reward is you get to, you know, go to that heavenly place. And they have absolutely no concept of that. They're more spiritually bound. I'm talking about the indigo children. They've come here to teach us how to live. And I was so amazed by the wisdom that exists. We didn't have that when we're that age. Spirituality, it's on the grow. We're more in tune with it. We're hearing about it more and more every day. People are learning how to meditate. They're learning how to do their yoga. They're learning how to take care of themselves better than they did, how to be their own doctors by eating the food that is required. We are getting smarter because this is the thing that we do as human beings, and we evolve, if you want to call it that. And we're learning that tolerance is a must. So is forgiveness, by the way. Where do we go when we leave here? We don't leave here. You've just changed the form. The water that was in that glass will evaporate from the glass and it'll float up into the sky, and eventually it'll turn back to water again and fall back to the ground and continues. And if you drink it, you know, you can't get rid of it and all these things that exist. You are the very same way. You will always be here. We have different forms that we live in. And today I'm talking to you because I'm in the physical part and you're hearing it because you also are in the physical part. The relative that you may have lost some time ago, they're no longer in the physical part, but they're still around. They don't leave. Nobody leaves. You're always here. I just answered the question about where do we go and do we have a heaven or a hell and all of these things. So we've gone through a lot of the questions and we've covered on praying, controlling the children, how to lose weight. Now that's very important. And by the way, the story and the whole talk about the whole weight losing thing, it's important, but it's not just for the physical size changes, not just for the weight. It has to do with the situation that you're in. Any situation that you find yourself in, you have the ability to see how to get yourself out of that. And sometimes it's by holding a thought in your mind, and the body tends to go towards the thoughts that the mind's holding onto. And if you hold onto it long enough, eventually you'll end up over there. If you're in a situation where you don't like the way you look, you're holding on without being consciously aware of it. You're holding on to the negative aspect, the same thing that you hate. You're inviting it to come and move in with you. So you want to be able to figure out how to get this tyrant or this thing that you're not enjoying out of your space. And it's the thought. And once you put that into action, because a lot of us, most of us are not ready to lose weight until we're ready to lose weight. And then it happens. But in the meantime, you could learn how to feed, give the body what it requires, not what you think it requires. And I've yet to hear the body needs ice cream at 2 o'clock in the morning, the whole tub of it. I've not heard that. But it wants it because God doesn't ever taste good. However, in doing so, just take the time. So we've covered a lot of the questions that some of the questions that people ask. And I'm going to do this because I'm actually enjoying it. And I'm loving the feedback that people are actually wanting to hear the answers or missed an answer or something like that, or have their own questions. And that will continue. So I will do this a little bit more, some other shows to come. How do you find your path or your purpose? That's a question that everybody's been asking. How do I find my path? Well, the path will find you. You're here, aren't you? You're hearing this. The path will find you. Somebody may have referred you to it, or you may have just stumbled onto it, or something has happened. The path will find you. And the path, like I said earlier, is not, there's no prize at the end of it. You know, the whole idea of it is just for you to not fall in the ditch and perish and miss your focus. You're finding your path by living the best self. You find the path by living the best self. You find the best self by looking at what's right for you. And I hope it doesn't mean to take advantage or disadvantage of others. So the path that you want, you have to be peace within yourself. How do you get to this level? Listen, if it's not true, don't say it. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it's wrong and you're doing it, stop it. You're now focusing on getting on the path and question yourself every minute where you have this desire to do something that's going to bump you off getting onto your path. Where, by the way, once you're on that path, you will find your purpose because it's a part of the package. One sort of helps the other along. And by doing that, you prepare yourself, you know, take care of your body, take care of your health, love thy neighbor as you would yourself, be respectful and tolerant to everybody. It's hard to do. It's very hard to do. But what if you were the bigger man? Bigger woman, it would be necessary for you to do that because the end result will come back in your favor. You find your path, study your spirituality, connect to your spiritual guide, find your way through, see the best way to live your best self and allow yourself to move up to a higher level of consciousness because this is where you want to be. The higher up you get, the more you will see. Isn't that practical? So let's get into studying and understanding our spirituality, studying and understanding ourselves and learning and finding out what our purpose is. And you may wake up one morning and think you're doing the wrong thing. Wow. And then you want to change it if it's at all possible. They say after 40, it's harder to change. It's not impossible. It's just harder. Pretty much, I can't run nearly as fast as I could when I was 19 years old, but I've accepted the fact that, well, now I can drive. So do what you have to do to compensate and to make it work. And you cannot repeat yesterday, so let it go. It's gone. There's nothing you could do about yesterday. And I'm talking about the animosity that you may feel for others or people, the grudge or whatever. It's yesterday. It's not relevant. And by thinking that one day they're going to get theirs, you're ordering that destruction onto yourself. Let it go. It's hard to do. It's very hard to do. But I assure you, once it's done, you'll be very happy with it. Very happy with it. You need to create a new lifestyle. And you need to allow yourself to open the doors. You need to not restrict yourself. And one of the things that I hear often is the people who believe in absolute and it doesn't exist. People who are talking about relationship and absolutes, there's no such thing. I love to say, I don't know if there's any rules to relationship. There's a lot of hope. But find like-minded people like yourself to fall into these relationships. And I don't mean the one-on-one only. I also mean any relationship that you want out there. That's the best thing. Like-minded people, you have to be equally yoked. And the rules, when they talk about an absolute, there's no such thing as an absolute. It's interpretive. It is interpretive. You will say, I will absolutely not drive across the country. It's just crazy. Never do that. But what happens if that's your only choice and that's all you can do? Then it cannot be an absolute because you've changed your mind along the way. How about just say, I'd rather not do that and just leave it there? There is no absolute because we are an entity that exists here, but you know, we're expendable, just like the blade of grass on the front lawn of your house. The lawnmower's going to come take you out. But that's how life is. The trick is to enjoy all of it. Live well. Be kind to others. Study, meditate. Take care of you. Tap into your spiritual guide. learn who you are, know thyself, live free and be happy. Don't restrict yourself and feel that because you're placed in this box, this is where you have to be. If you want change, change the mind. Change your mind, change the idea, apply for something new, let go of the negative because it's dragging you. You're running, dragging 100 pounds of dead rocks that happened yesterday. It's hard to do, but it is necessary to do. Thank you all for joining the show today. It was a quick one. I can't believe the time is less than a minute away, but I want to say that I'm really glad that you're here. I'm glad that you got your message. I hope the answers that I gave today from our best questions, and there'll be more to come, is somewhat satisfying to you. I hope that you have a great week. Please, everybody, be safe. And if you haven't taken your test, do go out and get it done.
Thank you for listening to The Barrington Show with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.